Hang in there, hang in there.
She's
not real crying. Oh, she's yeah, it's real
crying. Welcome to DL Gaming. I'm Bobby.
No, I'm Minnie.
And I'm Emilio.
And it is the day after Halloween. What'd you guys do for Halloween?
I went to another neighborhood and we just walked around this like really nice neighborhood because our neighborhood sidewalks are not exaggerating. Some parts of the sidewalk are at like a 40 degree angle. It's ridiculous.
We didn't get
any trick-or-treaters the whole night. Like nobody trick-or-treats in this neighborhood. It's
There's a pandemic out there too.
Was there any trick-or-treating going on?
Yeah, there was a lot. Dude, I'm in Trump
Texas.
State, of
You're
course.
In Texas. Yeah,
the virus doesn't exist out here.
That's true. It's true.
I got to talk to my parents because they live in a neighborhood where there is a lot of trick-or-treating, and they were going to just turn off their lights, not put any candy out, and just kind of hide in their house. And I'm wondering how that went. I mean, for me, it was like it wasn't even a holiday. I watched a scary movie, and then I pretty much worked all night on my laptop. That was pretty much it. Kind of a standard Saturday night for me. What about you, Amelia?
We went to get together last night. The pictures, if you're watching the stream, you can see we went as the Ghostbusters. There was four of us, including the rookie, which is the baby. You know, we each had our own tag, but her tag wasn't removable, and it came preloaded with the rookie. I thought that was really funny.
It says rookie. That's nice.
Yeah. And at some point, I made a joke last night. We went to a get-together. Same people we hang out with almost every weekend, maybe a group of 10. I made a joke, you know, where I was talking to all the girls and they made it like a little slight towards me. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get out of here, but you're going to really regret it if a ghost shows up, right? That's a stupid joke. But one of the girls was like, how would a parachuter help us with a ghost attack?
And so
that's what she thought I was, and somebody had to explain to her that I was a Ghostbuster.
Wow.
Oh, is it a French girl?
She was not French.
Oh, okay.
You're saying the French
oh but the French girl was there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why are you talking about the French girl?
You're talking about the your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
All right.
Sister-in-law. Oh, like she didn't get it. Yeah, I get it now. Oh, dude, you're fucking me up, dude, in my headphones. I lost my right ear again. It hurts, Bobby.
How about now?
I don't know.
Check, 1, 2. All right.
That's good.
All right. Well, what we should have been doing last night was participating in a DLG Discord game night that a lot of people were at.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, nobody was streaming, though. I was hoping someone was streaming so I could put it on the TV where I was at and just kind of have that on, maybe chat with some people. They were streaming it on Discord, but I didn't have access to Discord there. But it sounds like they had a good time. I know they had plans to watch a movie afterwards, too. I don't know if that happened. But, yeah, check out our Discord community. A lot going on there, folks.
Somebody asked me today. I got a message through Patreon this week. Oh, we have two new patrons. Sniper, can you find those people's names, please? They were asking me, how do you get to the Patreon? Or how do you get to the Discord? So if you go to dlgaming.net, there's everything there. Everything like merch, link to our Discord, link to everything. Everything we've ever done is on there. So that's how you do it, dlgaming.net. And speaking of our Patreon, more content's coming out. So the last gaming on the DL was movies on the DL was Social Network, and that was a good one. Social Dilemma. That was one of my best. That was one of my favorite ones recently. The next one is going to be 1917. It's a little side podcast that we do and talk about in depth about one movie. Not really a review, more just like a discussion about what we saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In 1917, that came out, well, almost a year ago now. It's the World War I film, Sam Mendes. Very, Very big film. I think it was up for some Oscar nominations. Think it won a few. Good movie. I've seen it in theaters, but I'm excited to watch it again. So be sure to watch that soon. And we'll be having our Movies on the DL episode coming out on Patreon probably within two, three weeks here.
And the whole thing is it's about like one shot or something?
Yeah. I mean, let's not spoil any of our...
Well, that's a selling point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing shot like it's one continuous take.
Yeah.
It isn't, of course. I mean, it's all trickery, but yeah, it's shot like that.
Cool.
All right.
For the patrons, it's Michael Batters and William Lyles.
Hey. those aren't the word names that I had seen. They had like their screen names or whatever, man, but that's cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Keeping this boat afloat.
All right. Let's talk about what we've been up to this week in regards to video games.
You got more than I do, so let's go with you first.
It looks like I have a lot. You know, I do miss the On the Radar section because I feel like that was, for the listeners, that was a real reason to tune in. So I'm trying to focus more on games that catch my attention. Steam is having a Halloween sale right now. Lots of good deals out there. And I noticed that they had a few games for sale that I had never seen before, and some of them were recommended by other people. But one of those was Stirring Abyss. I think this was recommended by Jens. And this is... So it's like a grid-based, tactical turn-based game, but it is underwater, and it's got like a Lovecraftian theme. So, you know, these creepy underwater sea creature monsters. And looking at the videos of the game, it looks a little bit different than your standard, just, you know, here are the enemies, here's you, there's the chessboard, move around and kill them. And I talked about... I've been playing a lot of tactical turn-based games this last year, and I talked about how you really have to do something different if you're going to make one of these. There's got to be something else other than you get three moves, there's the board, go for it.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting-looking game. It's like $25, I think, on sale for around $22 during the Halloween sale. And I might check it out. The reviews are positive, not a whole lot of people playing it. But I like the look of it. I like the genre. I like the theme. Like yep. It looks pretty solid.
It's on my list, too. I didn't see that it was on yours, probably because you had proper punctuation and all. but, yeah, the theme of it looks great. Everything you said, basically. I saw that there's mutations that your divers can go under. You know, at some point, one of them has a tentacle arm. And seems a lot bigger than his teammates. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you start off with just like regular guys, but, you know, one becomes the tank. I don't know. I'm just guessing here.
Yeah.
But it looks really good. I'm the really good pick, Jen. Was it Jens?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good pick, dude. Cause
yeah,
like
posted this in the
only 34 people have even clicked the up, down, or anything for this one. So that's how is that possible? But
yeah, I mean, it just came out on the 29th, but I have not heard of this game at all.
Yeah.
It just was I was completely unaware of it. And yet it is something that like fits the type of games that I like perfectly. The other game that I had noticed, they were having a sale on games developed in France. Kind of an unusual sale, but there was a lot of the games that you're used to on there. There's surprisingly a lot of French developers. But there's a lot of games that you've seen before and they're on sale. That's cool. But one new one that caught my attention, not out yet, but it's called War Chief. War Chief, all caps. And it's an RTS. And really, you know, I looked at it. And I'm like, well, what is this doing? What's different about this RTS? Because why would I play this rather than Warcraft 3, which is a, you know, probably the best RTS out there. And I don't know, something about it looks very intriguing. The style almost looks like Dota to me. I don't know.
It looks very Dota for sure.
Yeah.
Like the health bars and just the art itself. Very Dota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it looks like, I obviously can't tell, but it looks like that it's very responsive. You can micro a lot. Like that's really what you want from an RTS. Yeah, they're stutter stepping with catapults. It looks good. It looks like it's going to be something well made. I don't think there's a release date for this yet. Coming soon. Yeah, no price, no release date.
Seems like a single-player MOBA, if that's possible. You know what I mean? An OBA.
OBA?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, it's going to be primarily PvP. Maybe they'll have like a single player mode, but even all like the highlights that they specify on the Steam page, I read through all of those and none of them sound like, oh, that's the interesting twist. There's no interesting twist here. It's just a flat out real-time strategy game. I mean, it's like a medieval setting, you know, like a fantasy medieval setting. It's just so plain. And yet I'm like,
it doesn't look good.
It doesn't seem like you have like a base that you need to build up. It seems like there's just like a base you have to protect, and then you have like certain amount of like credits to build an army. Like there, it doesn't look like there's any like harvesting or.
It's more about
like
the combat.
Well, they did say there's going to be gold mines. Okay. So yeah, I don't know. I can't really pick apart too much from the screenshots or the limited video, but it's something I'll keep an eye on. You know, I like RTSs. And I even Conan Unconquered, I enjoyed that one for what it was. But I did sign up for the beta. You can sign up for the beta right now. If you go to their Steam page, they have a link right to it. They've got, you can join their Discord. They've got all that social media and stuff and just kind of keep abreast with what they're doing. But hopefully I get into the beta at some point and I can talk more about that.
Did anybody here pick up something from the Steam sale for Halloween?
Not yet.
The only one I bought was Urtuk, the Desolation. It is, I mean, when you're talking about like the artwork, it's like the not just the style, but also the characters seem that they were ripped out of Darkest Dungeon. Just the way that they're drawn and stuff.
Mm-hmm. The way that they move as well.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Except for the game itself. So this is a turn-based tactical game, grid-based, right? So you have those like...
hexagons instead of squares.
Yeah, hexagons. and, you know, in Darkest Dungeon, you have four people in a row, but this is a lot more mobility where you can get behind people, backstab them. A lot of stuff with, you know, the height. If you're above somebody, you get an advantage with a bow, stuff like that. I thought it was really interesting that the javelinier, does that sound right? The javeliner, something.
Sure.
The guy with javelin. The
person who's a javelin.
He can actually move up and down the ground. Like he can like terraform a little bit. Like so I just imagine he just like kind of gets some dirt together with his hands and like steps on it so he can get some height from there. I thought that was funny, but
I thought you were going to say he vaults over things.
Oh, there's a guy that does that too. The monk could jump and vault over things.
Oh my god, dude! Look at this inventory artwork, dude. This is Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah. But I gotta say, this is its own game. It's you know, it takes its look from Darkest Dungeon, but it mostly stops around there. You know.
The developer is David Coletta. Just a guy.
Just
one guy.
Yeah. Just one dope guy.
I mean, the inventory looks like Darkest Dungeon, but when you get to the actual gameplay, I'd say it almost looks a little more like Don't Starve. It's got this, I don't know, doesn't that kind of, in the animations of the character, it looks like Don't Starve.
I see what you're saying. Except for you, there's not free movement like that because it's turn-based, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Because that uses that heavy stroke artwork as well. Mm-hmm. I am enjoying the hell out of this, man. You start as Urtuk, you're the dude, and people just kind of you could just pick up party members after almost every mission, which is good because they die all the time, and you die all the time, and it's not easy. It's not an easy game, but
it's a roguelite. It says,
"Yeah, well,
cool."
Yeah, I don't know what. Oh, I do know what carries over from game to game. It seems like any kind of character that I face is then now a playable character in my group. It seemed like because when I started the game, there was only like four. And then I went and played one game and there was like eight. And then I played again, and there's now like 10 classes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and it was just blowing up really quickly.
Nice.
So that was fun. And everything's just dark and desolate, and, you know, you're in this, like, I don't want to say post-apocalyptic, because I don't think this world has ever had a civilization. There's a lot of cannibalism. It's dark shit. Your priest casts spells with his life pool, and then he gains life when things die. That's the priest. That's like the holiest of the guys. Do you know what I mean? The rogue feels like a rogue, even though it's not called that. The barbarian is very, like, everybody fits their roles perfectly. And then there's little perks that they get. Like, one guy might have something called a fast step, where he can move a little bit faster and he can swap characters with other people with no penalty. Or somebody could be a fast learner, where they gain experience. And these are just like tweaks to that random generation of that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they might have like a quirk or a perk, a lot like Darkest Dungeon, after you go crazy. But I couldn't stop playing it, man. Like, I played it right up until right before you walked in, Bobby.
Wow.
I wanted to play it more and more. It's in early access right now. I believe it's on sale for like $15. I wouldn't know because our computer doesn't use a VPN.
$15.73.
Yeah.
There you go.
$15.73, that's pretty close to the Canadian price of $15.95.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the bundle. So $13.99.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, $13.99. Totally worth $13.99, especially if you pick it up now. I'm sure when it's a full game, although it feels like a full game, I wouldn't complain for my $14 what I got. Absolutely not. But I'm sure the price is going to go up once it comes out.
As they often do.
Yeah.
Before I forget, I did want to mention last week I was a guest on a podcast, another podcast. What? Getting around.
Are you cheating on me, Bobby?
Yeah.
Getting around.
The Horrible Gamers podcast. So they talk about gaming in general. So console as well. Well, a lot more console than we talk about. But you can check them out. Horrible Gamers podcast. Look them up on any, you know, wherever you get podcasts or Twitter. I tweeted it out as well. And had a good time over there talking about stuff. Learned a few things about consoles.
Like?
I didn't know that. I didn't know how consoles handled the whole physical media downloading stuff these days. And we were talking about Call of Duty, you know, everyone's complaining about how the PC version is now taking up 250 gigs of memory. And I was wondering that if that was the same case for consoles as well, or, you know, what kind of hard drive do they even put inside consoles?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know any of that stuff. So, you know, I asked a few questions. I also talked at length about, Killing Floor 2 and, Deep Rock Galactic. So honestly, you've probably heard me do that here before, but it was still a good time.
Good. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was fun. Cool. Their episodes are a lot longer than ours, so, you know, it was kind of a marathon for me, but I made it through.
Good.
Yeah, Bobby, I was on that podcast myself about 6 months ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they are a good group of guys.
Yeah. Yep, and hopefully in the future we'll have one of them on our show in the very near future.
Well, it's the Mayo, right? It's the Mayo's podcast, I believe.
Yeah, the Mayo. And we've got a lot of people, I think, that listen to both our podcasts. And, you know, if you join their Discord, you see a lot of the same names.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I know they play games. They have kind of a game night every Friday night. So if you're looking for some people to play on Friday nights, it's a spot to be.
I think we should do a corporate takeover, man.
An acquisition.
Bring them into a network.
Yeah. I will talk about another thing really quick here. I got into the EA desktop. This is the new game launcher for EA that's going to replace Origin. And if you look at Origin, I don't know if anyone's blogged into Origin recently, but yeah, it looks like it's from a different era. It's pretty old. So they definitely needed a facelift. I tested this out. Honestly, that's all it is. It's a facelift. It's a better UI and a better UX than Origin. Everything's just organized and looks a little bit better and more modern, but they're also trying to do this unifying thing where, okay, if you own an EA game, where are you playing it from? Your Xbox, your PlayStation, your PC. Well, this is the application you use if you're going to play it on your PC.
Period.
So yeah. And I feel like a lot of companies are making that move to that, that kind of, play anywhere, philosophy. So you know, it's definitely the right move. The only thing that I noticed that was a little different is they might be trying to incorporate some sort of like social media or like social networking thing in this, because I noticed I had a username that was at Robert Digital. So I don't know if that's like something that's going to, I guess it's just like a username and you use it for friends lists or something, but maybe they're going to incorporate that somehow. Into
well, hopefully they pull it off. These things must be a lot harder than they seem to be, dude. How could have EA, like one of, if not the biggest video game company out there, just have an app that works across all platforms? You would think that this is just a thing that could work, but I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, Origin worked. Origin was fine, but it just was like, very old, and there were some weird things about it. Like if I got a duplicate of a game, which happened somehow, cause they'd like give away a bundle or something. And I had some of the games in the bundle, I'd get two copies of it in my library. That was weird.
That's super important to have too, dude.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I wonder if I could install both at the same time, but yeah, I mean, it's basically just a facelift. That's really what I took away from it, but it is nice that they're doing this, and it's not, you know, Uplay is doing the same thing. They're getting rid of Uplay and they've got some new thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, I can't remember what it is or what the details are. It looks like they're changing more, but I feel like gaming is kind of moving in the right direction. They're catching up to like what everybody wants, you know, which I guess is like Steam. They're catching up to Steam after 15 years.
Yeah. Many. So yep. We've been bouncing around the word Hades a lot around this app, and then you picked it up as per our recommendation. And you, I believe, anytime I was near my computer, I saw that you were playing it for about a week. Like you did not put this thing down.
I did leave it on for like a full day without realizing it. But yeah, other than that, yeah, for like a full week, I was really getting into this Hades, man.
I do want to say that I resent you a little bit that after a week, you were like, I finally beat Hades. Like, you fucking cut. Like, I've had this for months. I'm nowhere near beating it. Although, time played, you probably blew right past me. Anyway.
I had 15 runs before I beat Hades.
Dude, nobody does that, dude. That you're in the umpteenth percentile with that.
Maybe. I mean, this game really is like just right up my alley. It's like a Twitch game with a controller, and that's something I'm pretty good with. Like all those fast games, like Cuphead. I love that one. Beat that one in one night. That was a rough night, though. I was getting really frustrated. But Hades, it was like everything that you said about it is like so true. Like, I'm not really a big on roguelites, but this one it just really grabbed me. Like the story behind it of like who you are, you're like Hades' son, you're trying to get out. And like the taunting that they do, and like they give you like little snippets of story every like few runs, like just a little bit more. And you just want to know like, okay, where did this guy come from? Why is he trying to escape? What's really going on in Hades? It's... Man, it was just such a fun experience. I think they have like six different weapons in there, and I feel like some of them are kind of useless. I felt like the spear was definitely the way to go. Which one were you using?
No, I like that one the most for sure.
Yeah.
Although I did feel like the bow makes me play a lot more cautiously.
Yeah.
Because like you can't miss. Like you have to really think about what you're gonna hit. So I was playing smarter with that. But yeah. If you want to tear down some damage, it's a spear. Bobby, you throw the spear through them, and then you recall it, and the recall shot does a backstab.
Okay.
Right? So if you line it up right, you can do insane damage.
Yeah, and then they have like power-ups while you're going that just like can completely change the way you play.
Yeah.
Like I never really used the spear throw until I got an upgrade that made the spear like do 200 damage and it explodes on impact. So I'm like, holy crap, I definitely have to use this now.
Yeah. Yeah. And what happens in your gameplay and change your gameplay style?
Yeah, it forces just completely. You to change. And you haven't beat the game yet, but when you do beat the game, it changes.
Yeah, you didn't have to say that. Like, why are you rubbing that shit in, dude? That's
You just said you came nowhere near Hades.
Yeah, but the way you said it, like, geez, dude. Like, hey, now you're not in the upper echelon, but
yeah, you're not. Let me talk down.
Let me talk down to you for a second. All right. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
So yeah, the game does change a little bit. Collecting like Titan's blood, I believe they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you beat the game, then every weapon then unlocks. Wait, no, I think you have to unlock every weapon. Yes, before you do that, you unlock every weapon, and then you get the Titan's blood, which you can then upgrade your weapon. But it's very expensive to do. It's like Titan blood comes like once every
boss
complete run or something. Or yeah, once every, I think one boss in every run gives it.
Oh, okay.
But if you've already gotten that blood from the spear, then that boss will no longer drop that blood. So you have to do it with all the different weapons.
Oh, gotcha.
So then once you beat the game, then you unlock like kind of like a hazard levels. You could make the game more difficult, but you then continue with your rewards.
Do you find it compelling enough to keep you going?
I did beat it another time after that, but I haven't really messed around with it since.
Yeah.
So I beat it on my 15th run, then on my 17th run, and that's pretty much where I stopped.
It's a hell of a game, huh?
Yeah, it's really good. But the story, like, it's really cool interacting with all the different characters that are in hell with you. Like, yeah. Even, like, they're very minor characters, like Dusa, who's just a Medusa's head.
Yeah,
she's adorable, and it's very apparent that she has like a huge crush on the main character
because
she gets like really nervous when she's talking to you.
Yeah,
it's all really well done. Achilles, who's like your trainer, and he tells you, he's like, Hades, like, I think the first time I died to Hades, I went and talked to Achilles, and he's like, just remember, he's only a god. I'm like, what? What do you mean he's only a god?
Achilles was my favorite, and so... Haha, Mini. I think I'm getting way more like story because I've probably died 50 times. And so it continues, dude. Like the 50 times I'm getting little story bits over and over. And you get those gifts that you give to these other characters.
Yes.
And I've given gifts to Achilles 3 times and I'm about to max him out. So I'm really curious what's going to happen when I give him the 4th one.
I haven't maxed anybody out yet.
Yeah. So who knows? I'm guessing that you're going to get something cool, but you can give gifts to just about anybody. Even the guy that doesn't talk.
The Charon.
Charon. Yeah.
The merchant. The, yeah. He just growls at you basically.
Yeah. Sisyphus. I feel bad for Sisyphus every time.
Dude, Sisyphus for sure.
Yeah. I give him gifts.
And, dude, he's such a nice guy. Yeah. Like it makes him like you.
Yeah.
Like
he has the worst job in the world, and somehow he has a sunny disposition.
Yeah, he's the guy rolling the boulder up the hill eternally.
For eternity, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. So you'd say strongly recommend, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this game is just like everything about it is fun. Like it's a super giant game. You can't miss.
Yeah.
Everything they've made is amazing.
I would recommend.
Pyre. I don't know if that one landed quite as well as the other ones.
That was, yeah, it was, I think, a critical success, but not the, what's the other one? Monetary, whatever that is.
Like a financial success?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of hard because all their games have just been so good that even if Pyre was okay.
Mediocre, yeah.
If it was okay, then it would seem bad by comparison.
Yeah. It's like if I made a girl come one time. It was just that's ridiculous compared to my legendary feats.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how sex.
Doesn't matter how sex. What's going on with speedrunning on YouTube?
So, dude, this is something I've been like watching a lot of, like on YouTube speedruns, and I'm not talking about like just like a games done quick thing. I'm talking about like there's certain YouTubers who actually talk about like the history of the speedruns And the most recent one I saw was like just so compelling. It's by Summoning Salt. And it's this guy, he talks about a guy who's trying to get a perfect record on Mario Kart 64. This is for the glitchless run, so no cheating, no taking super shortcuts. But the thing is, there's 32 records. There's 16 races, 16 tracks. So you're trying to get the 3-lap record and the 1-lap record. And this is like a 45-minute video on YouTube. And it's just crazy. Like, it makes you like feel for the guy. Like, this guy, he's like trying so hard to get perfect 32. And there's a few times he gets to 31. And I'm not going to spoil if he actually makes it at the end of the video. But it's like this one guy from Germany trying to get a perfect 32, like being the best at every track in the world. And there's this, they call it the anti-100% coalition or something like that. It's like another group of speedrunners who are trying to stop him from doing that. And they it's like all like friendly, like nobody's like hating on each other, but they're all trying to stop this one guy from just perfecting the game, from getting 100% records. And the way this guy tells a story, it's just like, I felt so happy at times, and then I felt so sad. At the beginning of the video, they make you like not like the guy. At the end of the video, I felt like this guy just, he needs to do it. He needs to perfect this just because he's been trying so hard, and he's such a nice guy in real life. And I really highly recommend watching Summoning Salt's videos. He's more like the, like the retro, like 2D games. He does like a lot of Nintendo games, like Contra, stuff like that, mm-hmm. Ninja Gaiden. And then there's this other guy, Carl Jobst, J-O-B-S-T. And he's more of like the first person shooter speedrunners. He does a little bit of Ocarina of Time and stuff like that. But his main thing is like Dooms, Quakes, GoldenEye. I think he was at one point like a GoldenEye world record holder. That's where his experience is coming from. But both of these guys, they really talk in depth of how speedruns are done, the terminology, and they break everything down so you feel like you, at the end of the video, you know all what you like. There's nothing that you don't understand. It's not like watching like a Games Done Quick where everything's just flying by, and if you don't understand what's going on, then you're just watching the show. Mm-hmm. But both of these are just really great. There are other speedrunning YouTubers out there that are really good at breaking it down, but Summoning Salt and Carl Jobst are just so good at delivering the content. I really recommend it.
So these are guys that are speedrunning themselves, or
yes, they are at one point. They're not the best in the world, but they are in the community.
Okay. Because I have seen some of these videos out that are doing like these summaries or explanations of like the history of speedrunning a particular game. And they'll go through like when these world records were set, when somebody figured out a new tactic that allowed them to shave off a few seconds or something.
The dev reacts ones are my favorite ones.
What's that?
When the devs react to a speedrun. Oh, yeah.
So those are fun.
Yeah, those are fun because they're like, what is going on? We spent so much time on, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff.
Those are fun ones to watch and watch them like, the game gets broken and then it breaks their minds. Like, how the fuck did he even figure that out? Things like that.
Yeah.
When it's really not just that guy, but it's like a group of people that just stumble upon something.
Right, right. Like it's incremental, but you don't see that when you watch the speedrun. It's like, it seems like one person's a god.
Yeah, you're seeing the finished product.
Right.
And what you're seeing here, this on the screen, the history of the blindfolded punch out is like how it was thought to be impossible because Mike Tyson like was too random to be fought blindfolded. This is the NES punch out.
Right.
And then like it goes into like how somebody figured out that it's not random. You just got to know exactly what's going on to fight Mike Tyson blindfolded.
Jeez.
Yeah. And if you guys ever played that game, you know that game is ridiculous.
I don't know a person that has beat it. I don't think.
I've never beat it.
I've made it to Mike Tyson before, but I've never beat it.
Yeah, either have I. I've made it to Mike Tyson one time, but yeah, never beat it for sure.
Hmm. He's fighting coming up this next month.
Yeah, didn't we talk about it last podcast?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay. I think you did.
Yeah, all right. Well, the game I played this week was kind of a disappointment. I should say this. I played a lot of Killing Floor 2 this week. Really got into that. A little bit of Deep Rock. A lot of Grifflins, too. Been getting back into that. But the new game that I played this week was Kingdom New Lands. And apparently this is a remake, reboot, sequel to a game just called Kingdom. And it is a really good idea, but I feel like they kind of failed on the execution here. So the idea is that it is a city builder that's two-dimensional. So you're a king or a queen riding a horse, and you can go across the map just by going left or right with the arrow keys. That's it, left or right. And as you're doing this, you can pick up coins from various things, and then you can deposit them in certain areas to build stuff or to recruit archers or builders or whatever. It's a city builder, but it's two-dimensional, and it's very simple, and it's nice and kind of relaxing. It's a really good idea, but the problem is, it takes a long time to get anywhere in this game. So your overall goal in the first map is, you know, you build up your city, you defend against these waves of these little gremlins that come and attack you, but you're also trying to build up this boat, and it takes a lot of coin to do that. So, you know, you build up your city when you got a little coin extra, you build up the boat, eventually you get the boat built, you load up your troops on there, and then you can ride off to another island, next level. Not a bad idea, but there is a lot of downtime in this game, and I didn't really find a way around that. And I looked it up. I did my homework. I watched some YouTube videos, did a few Googles, and, you know, I didn't really see a way around that. And when I got to the second island, I was like, okay, this is a lot more challenging, and I kept kind of failing at a certain point. So when I would load the game, it let me start on the second island. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I don't need to spend like another half hour just doing the first map again, which I've already like mastered. And when I start the second island, though, it starts me off with no money, very few resources, just not in a good situation.
No carryover.
Hard mode, huh?
No carryover from the first island.
Yeah, not any. And it was like impossible to get going. Maybe not impossible, but it just took forever. And the enemies start ramping up after a while too. So then I was like, okay, screw it. I'll go all the way back to the first one. I'm just going to do this right from the beginning. So I finished the first map. I got just my bags filled with gold, and I've got a whole bunch of troops. I take that over to the new area, and then I get pretty far, but then I fail. And then I'm just like, you know what? Do I really want to go all the way back and play the first level over again so I can start the second one better off?
Right.
Or yeah. So I quit playing the game at that point. I put like 5 hours into this game, and like one or two sittings. Like I got pretty into it, but
seems like overall people like it, but that's not fun.
It's a great idea, and I really enjoyed parts of this, but I felt like I was missing something. And that's why I was going on Google and YouTube, like, you know, what's going on here? I'm running out of gold, and then just everything becomes infinitely harder. I can't build farms to get more gold. Like, well, I can't, you know, my archers aren't finding rabbits. Like, what do I need to do here? And then, I don't know. It seemed like a little too much work. This game screams like, hey, casual, kind of laid back, you know, fun little city builder, you know, little bit of challenge.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. And, but that's kind of not the case. I don't know. It actually is pretty difficult. So I don't know. It was free on Epic Game Store. And when I saw it there, I made like a mental note, like I should come back to this game. This looks interesting. This looks like something I would enjoy. And that's what I did this week. And I don't know, like C+, you know, it's not a terrible game. It's got some merits, but overall, I couldn't continue with it. I would love to see a game take this idea and kind of whittle it down to something a little bit better though. Hmm. I'd love to play the third version of this game.
That sucks too, because I like the look of it.
Dark Room. Have you heard of that?
What was that?
Dark Room?
Dark Room? No, I've not heard of that. What's that?
ASCII game, but it starts off like kind of like you just appear. Well, it's not even you. You are just reading text, and it just says you are in a dark room, and you have one option, which is like stoke the fire, and you got to do that a couple times, and then like somebody comes knocking at the door. You let them in. They're going to be working for you now, and then you build a hut to allow more people to come in to work for you. And your main goal is to just get off this world. You like somehow crashed here, you learn, and you're just trying to leave. But then it gives you like all these like moral quandaries. Like you're basically using these people as slaves just to get you off this world. And there's like this other person who's kind of like your conscience, and who like, if you work these people too hard, then she just like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm leaving you. You're a terrible person. So it doesn't really affect the game at all, but it is like that moral quandary that it gives you, but it is just, it's very small game. It's I think you can get it on like a smartphone for like $1, but it's also free on the browser.
Did you finish it?
Yeah. I finished it on the browser a long time ago, like maybe 10 years ago.
Did you escape?
And then I got it on my phone a few months ago and played it again.
Did you escape?
Yes. It doesn't take too long. Like if you're just going for speed and getting out, maybe a few hours. Like I think you can like double the speed, and you can like do that while you're watching a YouTube video, because there is like some downtime, and you just kind of click around here and there. There's a point where you can like start exploring the map and fighting things.
Yeah, we've got it up on the screen here, so we're seeing what it looks like. And yeah, it looks like as you click buttons, there's timers that you have to wait for them. I don't know. What I noticed in Kingdoms New Lands, and I can't think of a good example of this now, but when I was playing it, the thing that stuck in my head is like, I feel like they are controlling the amount of fun that I'm having. Like they're trying to dole it out incrementally. And I'm like, that's... A lot of games do that, and I guess there's a benefit to doing that. But also, I find it kind of weird that developers are like making a game, and they're just like, no, we don't want the player having too much fun.
Yeah, you know? All at once.
Yeah. Let's just, let's slow it down there, buddy, just a little bit at a time. Like,
listen, guys, this game only has a certain amount of fun. We can't be giving it all front-loaded, just all this fun in the first 5 minutes. Let's take that fun, let's spread it out, or something like that, dole it out.
Yeah, let's spread it out thinly on that piece of toast. And that's kind of what I felt what was happening when I was playing this game, is that it could move a lot faster. Too much downtime, let's get going. And the worst offenders are the mobile games are what I would say like the Facebook games. I don't know if these even exist anymore. Remember like Farmlands? It's pretty much all just waiting for bars to go down.
Or pay not to wait.
Yeah, or pay not to wait. Yeah. Exactly. That's when the money transaction comes in.
But a game like this, why are they making you wait for you to gather the wood?
Because
it's just a slower game. It's just like a slow, like chill game. Like these guys don't ask for any money.
No, fuck your game, dude. I'm over it.
You know, speaking of that, though, you played Rogue, I think, last week? The original Rogue?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bobby, I think you probably remember this. Like, I asked a listener question, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, or six episodes ago, saying that, hey, have you played the oldest Rogue of them all? And you were drunk at this point, so I'm sure you don't remember. But you said, fuck no, this game looks like shit.
Yeah, that's true.
But then you already played it. And you, like of your own accord, you just didn't want me to tell you, right?
Well, because it came to Steam. Yeah, there's a listener question that's asking the same question.
Yeah.
It's because it came to Steam and it was $2.50. That's what really, I didn't have to go looking for it.
I see.
Yeah, that's all it was. Calm down. Calm down, sir.
Yeah. All right.
What else do we have?
What about StarCraft 2? You've been playing some of that, Mini?
I did, dude, but... I played this a while ago, but I just want to talk about it because have you guys beaten the StarCraft campaign? Like StarCraft 2, I mean?
I remember getting stuck somewhere and not being able to beat a certain level, and I was like, I don't remember going back.
I beat it. When that game came out in, 2010? Yes. I remember not sleeping for 2 days. I played it, nonstop. And, I beat the campaign pretty quick. I beat the campaign a few times in StarCraft 2, but... I got Legacy of the Void a couple years ago, and I got a few missions into that and then just lost interest.
Yeah, I have to say the same. Like, I beat the first and second campaign, but that's really all I wanted to do because it's like Heart of the Swarm, I think, is a Zerg campaign. Mm-hmm. And that basically like finishes the StarCraft story. Like, the other one that you were just talking about, the Protoss one, like they give that one to you for free, but only like the first like two or three levels. And then like, hey, you want more? I pay for it. I'm like, that's, I'm not really that much into it. But
Okay. I didn't know what their model was now, because I know StarCraft II went free to play. But I mean, I bought StarCraft II. I bought Heart of the Swarm. I bought Legacy of the Void. So, you know, I just assumed like you couldn't play any of it. You buy it and you play it, you know, but I didn't know how they changed it with the free to play model.
But I just never like beat this game, and it's always been like the back of my head. Like, what happens to the story? Because I played it as a kid. I played StarCraft One. I think that was released in what, like 99 or something, 2000 maybe. And I thought that was like a really cool story. And then I never could finish StarCraft Two because I suck at RTSs, and I always tried to play like on the harder mode, not the hardest. And I would never bring myself to go any lower than that mode. So finally I just put it on normal mode, maybe even easy at some points, just to get through the story. And it's actually like the Heart of the Swarm at the end of that, is like, it gives you really good closure. I felt like they read this pretty well, or they wrote this pretty well. And I was just really happy with that. And I was like, I'm done with RTSs forever now, because this was just such a good conclusion.
When Kerrigan becomes like the leader of the whatever, the Zerg or whatever, there's the biggest eye roll of all time. Because really? For me personally, just because like, oh, you have this mindless eating machine, and for your story to make sense, you have to give it consciousness, and then you're going to take like one of the characters that you already have affinity for. I don't know. It seemed like a cheap trick to me.
I was a kid when that happened, and I was pretty sad about it.
Kerrigan's hot as shit, though. Hotter after the Zerg.
Yeah.
They got a great co-op mode in StarCraft II. You each play a race. I used to play this with Flying Hawaiian all the time. You each pick like a race, and you get access. Or you pick a commander, or they have another word for it. And they have access to certain units within that race. And then they have an objective. I played a lot of it, but all the objectives started to repeat themselves, so it got pretty boring. But I like that. And you level up them, so you get stronger and stronger.
Dude, oh, yeah. I never played the co-op, I don't think.
Yeah, the co-op's great. They added it, I mean, not too long ago. I mean, well, relatively speaking, yeah, a while ago. But
StarCraft and Warhammer not coming together is one of the biggest misses ever. Like,
let me tell you, Heroes of the Storm, bro. It's right there.
Oh, what do you mean? Warhammer?
Oh, Warhammer. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Warcraft.
Yeah. Like, that's what it was intended to be, and it didn't happen. Yeah. And they both blew up. Now, together, I feel like it would have been even bigger.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They got their own thing.
Well, on their own each.
All right, let's talk about any more games to talk about.
Just some games that I saw coming up. Stirring Abyss, we already talked about. Hard Space Shipbreaker, I thought was a very interesting concept of a game. So you're basically a scrapper. You know, you go out and find derelict spaceships, and you harvest valuable components. There's not monsters in here, because every game in the world has monsters that stop you from doing that. This is just the real, the reality of being a harvester of spaceship parts. Like, you have lasers to cut the parts apart, right? To like get the little piece that you need. But those lasers are cutting through. The entire spaceship is destructible.
Mm-hmm.
It's in first-person view. It doesn't matter what it is. You could blow up the whole thing, but you're going to lose all the valuable pieces. So you want to go out there and dissect the valuable pieces. But if you're using a laser, that laser can cut into into the hull. And then you'd have a breach of atmospheric pressure, or you could cut into a fuel tank, or you could cut into the outside, and then you'd lose pressure from the inside and you'd fly out, or, and just like all these different things. And so I don't think it's a very like action packed fucking all this crazy shit happening, but it's a very methodical, let me do this right. Let me maximize my profits. Because when I'm using, there's certain things like, there's a lot of physics in this.
It's like an off risk reward system.
A what?
The awesome risk reward system.
Yeah, exactly. Because I believe there's not grappling hooks, but it's kind of like God, what's that game where you have like a tether and you hook it to two parts and the tether automatically pulls those two parts together, so you can move. You could just like grab an entire engine and be pulling it in a certain direction, but every time you use one of these grappling hooks, it goes into your price of the cost of the whole project. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to be watching. You could be doing all kind of crazy shit, but it's going to cost you in the overall. And I don't know. I thought it was really good. It's a really good concept. I was a little, I don't know. I didn't like that there wasn't a VR version of this, because it looks like a VR perspective.
VR, man.
This would be a fantastic VR game.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be nice, but that wouldn't be a deal breaker for me.
No, not at all. But it looks like a great game, great concept. I hope they pull it off. Is it an early access?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand what your objectives are.
Getting valuable things out of spaceships.
So you show up to a spaceship, you harvest it, you load it up, and then you drive off?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, if you cut into the engines, or if you cut into the oxygen tanks, or if you cut into anything the wrong way, you're going to have, it's going to affect your overall, it's a business, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, is that the only...
That's it, yeah.
That's the only mechanic? There's no enemies preventing you from doing that?
No.
Sir. Okay.
It's just the trickery of space, you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, it seems like a really chill game. Like,
yeah,
it's chill like game. Kind of like, what's that water game? I mean, that one has enemies, but that was a real chill game too.
A water that, game, dude?
Yeah, you're like land on a planet. You got to get a ship off the planet. Bobby knows.
Subnautica,
yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that's a crafting survival game.
Yeah, you're right. This but one. Like in the event, like there's really no danger.
Fired from the podcast again, dude.
What's that?
What?
Sorry.
Huh? did you watch The Mandalorian, Mini?
The first season, yeah.
How about season two, dude?
It's out?
Yeah, first episode.
Yeah, I'll watch that. I haven't yet, but I will.
It's really good. I enjoyed it very much.
Right.
How about the Mandalorian's a knight and he slays a dragon? How about that, dude? How about that?
The dragon?
Yeah, dude. That's how good it is. So, and when I was watching it, I was thinking about how it looks like this is cinema level fucking production value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like a goddamn movie.
Yeah, they're spending a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I have not seen it yet. At this point, I'm just going to wait until the second episode comes out. I'll watch them back to back. I do like how they're doing that, because nobody does that anymore. Releases, yeah, like one episode a week. Like, that's...
I believe Amazon does.
Some people still do it.
Yeah.
You do see it rarely, but usually a whole season will drop and you just binge it. But there, and that's nice. There's no like right way and wrong way to do it, but it is kind of nice to have this this thing to talk about and everybody to like. I always think of Lost. Like when a new episode of Lost came out, everybody would be like, "Oh, did you see it? What do you think this means? What's that mean?" You know, and everyone would have their stupid theories and, you know, not realizing it was all just spiraling down into nothingness. But yeah, I'm excited that this is out again. And I heard Pedro Pascal had like left production in the middle of it, but we'll see what happens with that. But this is like the perfect thing that for Star Wars. This is the best thing they could do with Star Wars. Just like, let's explore some of these
little small stories in the universe. Like, not everything has to be about, like, you know, the destiny of the hero or Skywalker, you know?
Yeah, like the Obi-Wan tales that are coming out, I think, this year or next year.
Yeah. And, like, I'm excited about that because I think, I don't know if a lot of people think of Obi-Wan as a really interesting character, but I find him to be one of the more compelling characters, well, at least in the prequels, definitely. Like, when he throws on the General Kenobi suit, like yeah, dude, Kenobi's awesome. Like, that, mm-hmm. Let's see more of that. I mean, we get old man Kenobi in you know, the first Star Wars, and then he shows up as a ghost for the other two. And then in the Clone Wars show,
the older one?
Oh, you're talking about the CGI one?
Yeah.
No. I tried to rewatch it.
That one gets really good in, like, the later half of the series.
Yeah, I know, but there's, like, what, seven seasons? It's so much to watch. And it's a lot of filler. It's so much filler.
You're right. So
if you go to, you know, the Disney, what is it called? Disney Plus?
Mm-hmm.
There is, like, the essential episodes, and it's only seven episodes leading up to the what they made, the newest thing that they mm-hmm. just made. So it's like seven episodes. It said essential Clone Wars episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing that one. And yeah, that one is like just to get the gist of it. Yeah. I think it was like, yeah, I think you're right, like seven to ten episodes, something like that.
Nice. Yeah, that might be good then.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen since Dragon fucking Cars, dude. This is ridiculous.
C-3PO and the Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
People don't realize it, but there's a lot of, like, bad Star Wars stuff out there. And I'm not just talking about the holiday special. There was an animated show called Droids with 3PO and R2-D2 just bumbling around in 80s animation, which they didn't put a lot of effort into back then. It was a lot harder to do. Yeah, but
10 frames a second cartoons.
Yeah. And they didn't even care. Oof. Like, yeah.
Oh my gosh,
the animation isn't even the worst part. You watch these and it's just like, what? Like, it's so boring. But yeah,
he looks bored.
There's a lot of bad Star Wars stuff out there. What did I get my hands on this week?
Hey guys, I gotta get going right now.
Okay,
all right, man.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
No problem. I'll check y'all later.
All right, see you later, Minnie. God, I can't remember what it was, but I got my hands on some, like, interesting Star Wars stuff. I'm always trying to dig around and find, like some of the lesser known little things of Star Wars, you know, like a special they ran on TV or this or that. But there's something I found. It's called The Anatomy of a Dewback, and it's just like a 30-minute, maybe an hour long, just special on when they're adding one particular scene to, oh yeah, there it is. It's right on YouTube, I believe. Yep. Yeah. The Anatomy of a Dewback documentary. And it's just all about them trying to add this particular scene, from A New Hope in the special edition where they had the Dewback walking around and moving. And it's just like the history of that.
Like, the new CGI that they added into the old mm-hmm. movie. Yeah.
In the 90s, so, you know, it was, like, iffy.
Are you saying that it's a good documentary? What are you saying?
Yeah. Well, I think it is, but this is, like, really specific, dude. You got to be a big Star Wars nerd to like, really enjoy this. Like, they get into some real specific stuff. Like, they're just showing that scene right there. They're like, you can notice in this frame that you can actually see through the Stormtrooper's helmet. Like, nobody's going to notice that shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, Bobby. Talk to me about Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead. Oh, God. So I watched that. I haven't seen this movie in so long. I watched the original one from 1968. And I had this VHS, like, on my shelf as a kid. This is one of the movies that, like, out of the 8 VHS tapes that I had, this was one of them. I used to love this movie.
Now, the 68 version, that's the black and white one,
yeah, right? Yeah, this is the original one. This is, like, what started the zombie trend.
And although, this is by George Romero.
Yeah. But they didn't call them zombies in this movie. They called them ghouls. Mm-hmm. And they know how to use objects. Like, they use a brick to crush a window. And so they have a little bit of intellect, which we don't really associate with the modern zombie. And yeah, it surprisingly holds up. Like, this movie being as old as it is, and of course being
after this whole like zombie craze we went through in like the early 2000s, like it still holds up really well. And I really enjoyed it. And people always pick this one out for like social commentary because the main character, he's kind of the main character, but he's a black guy and he gets shot at the end. This is kind of a spoiler alert, 50-year-old movie. So sorry, but he gets shot at the end. Let me explain what happens. So it's your typical zombie movie. A bunch of people are holed up in a house trying to survive these waves of zombies. And,
I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. And they board up the house. And of course there's all these inner politics going on. They're arguing with each other about the best way to go about this situation. And, then of course the zombies break in, everybody gets murdered except the one guy, the African-American guy survives. He wakes up. Meanwhile, this militia has formed of people just going across and murdering zombies, and they make their way to the house. They see him and they shoot him. Now this movie came out in 1968, like right after Martin Luther King Jr. got shot. So like there's this really weird comparison that's kind of drawn between these events, you know, because at the end of this movie you have an African-American getting shot. But to watch the movie, it's like it doesn't try to do that at all. It's really interesting. They never once make any reference to the fact that this guy is black. Like it never comes up, even when he's arguing with the other guy about like, where's the safe place to stay? And I don't trust you. And you know, the paranoia sets in, like race does not come up. And I guess originally it was supposed to be a white character in there, but then this guy just got the part because he was so good and they just never changed any of the dialogue. But it's a good watch, man. I recommend people watch it. There's also a 1990 version that that I enjoyed a lot too. And if you've played the Left 4 Dead game, well, I guess both of them, one of the characters, Lewis, really looks like this guy, particularly the version in 1990. I think that was played by Candyman, Tony Todd, but he's got the white shirt and the tie. Like he looks just like Lewis from Left 4 Dead. So yeah, solid movie. Highly recommend it. Great to watch on Halloween. The other movie I want to talk about
really quickly. I want to cut you off, Bobby.
Yeah, go for
it. Favorite zombie movie.
Favorite zombie movie? Oh man, I don't know. Here's the thing, dude. Like, I don't even like zombie movies that much anymore just because I've seen so many of them. I'm kind of burnt out.
Right.
I will say, though, less than a year ago, maybe 6 months ago, I watched Train to Busan.
Incredible.
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit. I mean, it's a great movie, but it's like you can still make a zombie movie and have it be good and have it not be feel derivative. And
it's possible.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. It's a Korean movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. They made a sequel that I think just came out or is coming out. It got, things got weird.
Is that the one that was like hashtag alive?
Peninsula or something like that.
Oh.
Peninsula. But I don't think it was as good. But yeah, dude, the Train to Busan was like incredible. It was so refreshing.
It's in my top three.
That. Yeah.
So really good movie. My top three would be Train to Busan.
Mm-hmm.
28 Days Later, and I'm struggling for the name. It's the one where they're in the shopping mall.
Are you talking about
Day of the Dead? A certain one.
The new one.
Yeah,
there's the one from the 80s, the George Romero one from the 80s, and then there's the new one with Ving Rhames and the dad from Modern Family.
Yeah. Who's a bad guy in that.
Completely different character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got range, dude.
That was a really good movie because I think that was when the fast zombie started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was when like, this isn't your mom's
28 Days Later started the fast zombie. And then that movie came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they were kind of right around the same time.
Very close.
And 28 Days Later, they shot that on digital when nobody was shooting digital. And it looked terrible when they did like the high res Blu-ray of it. But they were going for a specific look, and yeah, that was 2002.
Do you know the names of the sequels, Bobby, without looking too much?
Isn't it like 28 weeks later, 28
months later?
Months later, yeah.
Weeks and then months.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen them, but I do remember liking 28 Days Later.
You're not missing much.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not terrible, but for me, being a zombie movie fan, like, mm-hmm. even something mediocre is, like, pretty good. You know what I mean? Because so much garbage is out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad, well, especially zombie movies. I don't know if Evil Dead 2 counts as a zombie movie. I guess you could. I mean, they are the undead. But that's, Evil Dead 2 is widely considered, and I would agree with this, one of the best horror movies ever made.
Have you watched the TV show?
First season.
Yeah. I'm right where you are. I just haven't picked up the second season.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure where it's at.
It was all right, but it just, I don't know. I like them better as movies. Like, the TV show just felt like, you know, what's the gang going to do this time? You know, this time we're going here, and it's, you know, they have their isolated story that's kind of connected to the larger arc. And
now, Evil Dead 2, that was directed by Lord of the Rings guy, right?
No, that was still Sam Raimi.
Oh.
No, you're talking about Peter, what's his name? God, what's his name? Peter Jackson. And the funny thing about that is everybody knows him for Lord of the Rings, but if you've ever seen any of his earlier movies, they are wildly grotesque.
They're
splatterhouse gonzo horror. And one that I recommend, it's got two names depending on where you are. Dead Alive, I think, was its U.S.
mm-hmm.
title. And I can't remember what it was called in the U.K. and Australia, but that one's pretty bonkers. I mean, you could watch his first one, Bad Taste. That one's like a little rough, but you can see, like, oh, this is why this guy, you know, got the opportunities that he did, because he did so much with so little. The Frighteners, that was a great movie, man. We all forgot about that in 96. Michael J. Fox came back. Well, I guess he never went anywhere. He was doing Mars Attacks. I always liked that movie, The Frighteners. Okay. The other movie I wanted to mention this week that I watched was Edward Scissorhands.
Never seen it.
Never seen it?
No.
Wow, dude. So, bit of a history with this movie. I saw it as a kid, and I remember my mom making me close my eyes at a part where this lady is trying to seduce Edward because she starts, like, taking her clothes off. So, for the longest time, I was so upset because my mom made me close my eyes there and wouldn't let me see that part. And then when I was older, I finally watched, and I was like, But this movie... Everybody knows this movie, right? I was doing something. I was at my girlfriend's house. She has Hulu TV. It was on. It was playing movies. This movie came on, and I'm working on something. And then my attention, I could not keep my attention away from this movie. It was just like automatically just sucked over to this movie as it was playing.
I see that you gave 4 stars. Is that a 4 out of 4 or 4 out of 5?
5 stars, which I don't have very many 5-star ratings, but I did give it 5 stars.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah. Okay. The second time around watching it. But okay, so when I'm over at, this is like months ago, by the way, that I'm over at my girlfriend's, this movie comes on, and it's edited for TV, and they cut out like the entire like front part where like Winona Ryder's character is really old, and you know, it's the framing device for like the flashback that goes back to when she was a
girl. Why does he have scissors for hands?
Because Vincent Price was like this weird old guy in a castle, like building him. And for some reason that was part of the process. Like he was about to give him the real hands, but then he died right before he could. Yeah. It's a confusing story. Well, not really that confusing, but it's just kind of weird and out there. But it doesn't matter. Like this movie. So I'm watching this, and then I notice like it's edited for TV, and my attention is just constantly being drawn to it. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to turn this off. Can't watch this right now. I've got work to do, and I'm going to like watch this properly, you know, not on TV, not with commercial interruptions. Screw that. And so finally this week I got a chance to do that. And I was really, I didn't see this coming. I had a real emotional response to this movie. Like it was very touching for me. And I kind of saw it as a kid. I watched this and I was just like, okay, you know, this is like Tim Burton just being quirky and like, this is weird and weird stuff happens. But as an adult, now that I watch it, I'm like, this movie is made so well, like so much care was put into every aspect of filmmaking here. And I feel like he nailed it.
Oof, who's that?
That's Winona Ryder?
No.
Oh.
You sure? The other one.
Is that not know.
Something Connolly?
Oh, Jennifer Connolly?
Is that her?
It might be.
Not sure what this is.
Sorry. I had to control myself, dude.
So where was I?
Sorry, dude. I saw beauty and I was like, what the fuck?
Okay. So I watched this movie and then I was just like, wow, this is so autobiographical for Tim Burton, because it's about like this weird kid who gets taken down into this town full of like normal people. And it's very, what do they call that? Like the housewives, the, you know, where everything looks too good to be true. I can't remember what the,
Call them fembots for now, but I know that's not right.
Yeah. You know, where they turn out to be like robots or something, but it's like a suburban lifestyle where everything's a little too perfect and you know, like something's wrong there and you kind of see that, but really it reflects real life. Like, Anthony Michael Hall's character, he plays the boyfriend of Winona Ryder's character. He's just like a dick, you know, and it's not like something really bad under the surface is going on. It's just like stuff that just happens in real life. It's like everybody's got this fake facade of this town and it's all done in these pastels and everything. You know, the yards are clean cut and it's just but underneath you can feel the tension. And he's brought into this world, which is our world, and he kind of gets used and abused. They find out that he has this talent for like, you know, cutting the dog's hair, or, you know, cutting the hedges. Yeah. And being very artistic. He's very creative and artistic. And they try to get him to open up this, hairstyling shop. And they kind of like, he basically gets like used and abused for the personal gain of everybody else. The Anthony Michael Hall character tries to, have him, cause they find out he can pick locks with his fingers. So he has him break into his dad's house to try to steal some stuff, but then he gets caught and then he gets branded as a criminal and everyone turns against him. And it's just like, God, I can see Tim Burton just like letting out a lot of his, a lot of his personal feelings in this, because, you know, he was definitely that weird kid who was very talented and very gifted, but also very misunderstood. So yeah, man, I was just blown away by this movie. I just thought, man, this is such a like well-made movie on top of like so many other things being said here. And it's just so telling of Tim Burton. And I miss that Tim Burton. What happened?
Does does Tim Burton have a like a commentary on this movie? And does your interpretation match up with what he was trying to say?
I don't know. I mean, I could read up on it. And yeah, I'm sure there's got to be some DVD commentary tracks out there that I'd love to listen to. But really, I didn't see this coming. Like, I was just like, oh, Edward Scissorhands. Yeah, that was pretty good. You know, classic Tim Burton. And then I watched it and I'm like, holy shit, dude, this movie, that's why I gave it 5 stars, like 10 out of 10, man. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it again in like a year and I'll give it like 4.5 or whatever. I'll see the flaws. But like, just on this
Sniper,
watch.
Can we go by Robert Digital 5-star films? Let's see how many there are.
Oh, sort by 5 stars. Yeah, let's see what I get. I'll tell you that Uncut Gems, I gave 5 stars the first time I watched it. Second time was 4.5. Okay, so we got Mad Max Fury Road. Stand by that. 5 stars. The Grand Budapest Hotel, I would probably give that 4.5. I think 5 stars is me liking it a little too much. Parasite, stand by that. 5 stars. Knives Out, maybe 4.5, 5 stars. Uncut Gems, yeah, probably.
I'm on board with just about all these. I've never seen the Grand Budapest.
It's Wes Anderson. Yeah, you know, the guy who makes those kind of quirky movies where there's a lot of symmetry and tracking shots left to right.
Huh.
Have you ever seen any of his movies?
Well, I don't know.
Rushmore, no. Royal Tenenbaums. Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
No.
Bottle Rocket. No, you wouldn't have seen that if you hadn't seen any other ones. If you're going to watch, he's got a new one coming out, but I think it got delayed because of COVID. But if you're going to watch one, Moonrise Kingdom. If you're going to watch one, I think Grand Budapest one is the way to go. Oh, the dog one. Yeah, the dog one was good. Isle of Dogs. Yeah. That was all right. Yeah, so you see, not too many. I mean, I don't know how many.
Literally six.
Yeah, 6 5-stars. I'm not handing those out here.
But, out of what, 200 you have on there?
Yeah. And I also, God, look at what else I watched this week. Ghost of Mars, 1.5 stars. Yep.
I think I saw that movie. Dude. It's kind of like Doom without the Doom.
It is. Name, right? It reminded me totally. Well, it's on Mars. It's all very red and it's so bad. And I love John Carpenter. John Carpenter, I think, is just like one of the best directors. And I think it's because he directs and also does music for his films. And I think that plays a key role in that, dude. I think people who are musicians are like really good at transitioning into film. Like, look at Rob Zombie. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. People could argue with me on that, but I think he makes some good stuff. Yeah.
I think listener questions.
Yep. Time for listener questions. We got a few of those. All right. First one comes from Clooney. How do you feel about the new Deep Rock Galactic mission types? I thought the Liquid Morkite mission was fun, and the Minehead Escort was a little hectic.
Have you played it more since last week?
I have. I've played them more, but I still have not played them on Hazard 5 difficulty, which I really want to do. It's hard to get people to play that on Hazard 5 with me. But I really have to do it on Hazard 5 before I can really judge it, but I think I like the Drill Dozer one better. The Morkite one is fun, and it's cool to build the tubes and stuff, and it's different, and the mobility is a lot of fun, but I really like the idea of the moving objective that you have to stay with, the escort. Right. Like, that's so different from anything else that they've done. He looks like he's got another question regarding Deep Rock Galactic. What's Bobby's favorite class? I have a Scout Prestiged, and I'm working on the Driller right now, since all my overclocks I get are for the Driller.
I'm going to guess Scout.
Probably. So I've gone through phases. I've gone through phases where I really prefer one class, except the Engineer. The Engineer is the only one where it's just like I never want to play it, ever. Mm. I went through a phase where I played nothing but Gunner. Scout I started out with, and yeah, I really do enjoy that, but he just doesn't have a lot of firepower. And sometimes, like, I know if I'm on Gunner, I know we got the firepower, so a lot of times I end up doing that. But Driller, I think, is just the most
essential.
On the Drill Dozer mission, he doesn't do anything at all.
Because the drill's doing all of it.
Yeah. And even when you go back to the drop pod, when you have to run back, it's already been drilled for you. The path is clear.
Right.
The only thing that he really helps out with is there's a phase when you're drilling into this giant egg where the spikes pop up and they do a lot of damage. And the only way to kill them is to go and hit it with your pickaxe. Now, the driller can just run over and drill right through it. So he does help out there. But otherwise, he's kind of useless on that mission.
Huh.
I mean, the flamethrowers are always nice, though, or the freeze gun. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's just the most versatile, and I think you can do just about anything with the driller, and you can go anywhere. And I sometimes I just feel safe playing the driller because I know we got that, like, one of the most important roles covered.
Including escape.
Yeah, the escape, big time, too, because every now and then you run into somebody who doesn't know that you can just straight drill out.
Yeah.
And that's just quicker and easier on everybody. So, yeah. Next question from Afro Dragon. another Deep Rock question. Bobby, Deep Rock Galactic is coming to Game Pass November 5th. What do you think? As of now, no Steam or Xbox crossplay. And he had linked an article there. But, yeah, so I guess there isn't going to be crossplay as of yet. Maybe they'll do that in the future.
It's unfortunate, dude, because you need... Yeah. Community for a game like this, like, mm-hmm. God, what? How many people are going to play on Xbox? Like 2,000, and that's going to whittle down eventually to 500. And the same thing on the. You need this. You need those thousands and thousands of people playing on Steam. You know what I mean?
It would be nice, and I don't know what's preventing them from doing that. I mean, there's a healthy community playing this. I mean, look, 8,000 people playing. Yeah. Recently, like right now on Steam, you know, it's got a solid community of people playing just on PC alone. But, you know, the more the better. It's always nice to have more people playing.
Yeah, for sure.
Then, yeah, for it coming out on Game Pass, that's great. Now, I'm hoping the people who played on Game Pass will be able to play with people playing on Steam. Has that ever been an issue? I feel like there's been problems with that.
Depends on the game, I believe.
Yeah.
But I've never really had an issue. I think they all have so far.
I think that's what he's saying in the question here. No Steam, as of now, no Steam or Xbox crossplay. I'm guessing that means the Xbox app on the computer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'd be a shame. But I don't know. That's great that, like, people will get exposed to this game, though.
For sure.
Old Man Dave says, what game or genre would you like to see decide elections? Vermintide 2 or maybe a Battle Royale? I don't know how Vermintide 2 would really decide anything.
It would be the rap battle game on...
Jackbox.
Quiplash. Yeah. On Jackbox.
Like Tropico 4 or something.
Like whoever can manage your little... Yeah,
see how they do with a Banana Republic and...
go from there.
Yeah, because the thing about those games is, like, you can be a dictator. You can be, like, a really bad person and also still, like, be effective.
Yeah.
So it's kind of telling, you know, to dude, see someone's place up.
Dude, you fucking nailed it, dude. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. I still got to play Tropico 5.
6.
Oh, they're on 6 now? God. 6. Too many Tropicos. It's such a great game, man. Like, I love that you can do so much in there. You can be like, oh, I'm going to be a resort town and also murder people. Or I'm going to get really into the production of, like, local vegetables and fruits. Like, we're really going heavy on plantains. We're just a farming community. On Penultimo comes back for 5. That's cool. Next question. And Pilaf says, if provided with some Magic the Gathering cards, would you guys play for each other on stream? Or play each other on stream?
No.
You'd have to teach me how to play.
Yeah, he'd have to learn how to play. You should learn how to play, dude.
I really should. And I kind of want to.
I wonder if you would, like... I would just Google what's the best way to learn how to play.
Yeah, you know, I've been walked through like maybe once or twice in my life before, but it's such an open game that it's kind of hard to explain.
You've played so many games, like Slay the Spire. If you can understand that, you could understand Magic the Gathering, like at least to 50 to 60%, you know? Yeah. And the other rest of it is just like little intricacies, what can happen in between the lines. That's all the new expansions are. 3 new abilities come out that fuck with the rules, and you just read the rule, and now you know what that means. That's basically all that happens.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like if I were going to get into a card game, I'd get deeper into that Star Wars one, which that's a complicated game too.
Yeah.
I don't know how it compares to Magic, but you have like a set of phases, like, you know, your activation, deploy, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And, you know, you can do certain things there, but then they have these things called like interrupts and effects that are just like, boom, you can do literally anything that it says, as long as it says it on the card, you can do it. So it's just, it's really hard. Like, unless you memorize all the cards and what they do, like, it's really difficult to get good at that kind of game. But, yeah, I mean, Magic the Gathering is just so ubiquitous, I feel like I have to learn it.
Yeah. It is the D&D of card games.
I'd be interested to hear what the best online version of it is.
Well, it's definitely Arena.
Arena?
Yeah.
And that's on Steam, right?
No, you have to go to the website.
Okay. But do you have to buy cards, or how does that work?
I don't know exactly, but yeah. They got to make money, so you buy cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
you buy packs.
Yeah, you buy packs and stuff like that. But I think it's a lot. It's not as bad as it used to be on Magic the Gathering Online, where it was just like value for value game. They were trying to match up, and it worked for years. The value of a game in real life was the exact value of the game online. Yeah.
See, I'm not looking to sink any money into this, though. That's an issue. I know how expensive those...
Put me on. Nick's getting crazy.
Are we going to put Nick on the call so he can talk about Magic?
No, fuck him, dude. It's been a little while, though. Your daughter, he just had a baby. Congratulations, Nick. I'm sure we talked about it before, but baby looks exactly like him. Like, if there was a DNA test and it came back like it was in his kid... I would say DNA tests need a second look at.
Next question from the Livingston. Does it seem like the lifespan of games is shorter or longer nowadays?
This comes very in touch with the question that we got last week about, you know, how much time do you spend per game or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't...
think there's a trend going either way. I think there's just so many games out there that you can really find whatever floats your boat, you know? Like, I don't think it's like all games are getting longer or all games are getting shorter. I think there's just like a ton of games out there, and I myself am playing more shorter games, and I don't know. But then I play some of these games that are just like games as a service, you know, like Killing Floor 2 and Deep Rock Galactic, where, you know, they're just like, they don't have a set length. Yeah, they're just infinite, and you just jump in whenever
you
want.
It's just fun.
But I don't know. In general, like, to give you a solid answer, I'd say things are trending towards shorter. Because if you think about it, back in the day, you'd buy a game, and you'd expect, like, a 20-hour campaign from a first-person shooter. Nobody does that in a first-person shooter. Like, even Doom Eternal was...
13?
Yeah, it was like 12, 13 hours.
Yeah.
The first Doom, I think it was like 6 hours. Like, first-person shooters have gotten a lot shorter, but I think, like, still RPGs, people expect a lot more from that.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. This one's kind of long here. I'm reading it in advance. This is from Aurora Wolf. I'm in the process of introducing my girlfriend to gaming. She just started Link's Awakening on the Switch, and she's enjoying it so far. Are there any more games you can suggest for her to try next? She's using my Switch, but she has a decent PC. So is this co-op, or is this just like her playing on her own?
Yeah, I think she's just playing on her own.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on the skill level. I know Stardew Valley was a big hit with my girlfriend.
Yeah, Stardew Valley is probably where you want to go. Is that on the Switch? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it is on the Switch.
And even if it wasn't, your moderately powerful PC can play it.
Yeah, the problem with the Switch version of it, though, is you have to have two copies of the game to play on each Switch if you're going to do co-op. Now, I don't know about the Switch, but for PC, they've talked about an update coming up that's going to put in single-screen co-op, which is really what that game needs.
Yeah.
Because it's super annoying to have to play it on two separate computers.
Animal Crossing, obviously. Trying to think of another game. Well,
I was thinking of co-op games, and I was going through the usual ones like Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time, although that game's a little old now. But
if she likes like darker stuff, is she more on the, you know, more morbid kind of things? Binding of Isaac, playing that together. But, you know, you can't have weak of stomach. It's all about farts and blood and vile. But it's cute.
Well,
at the same
if
time.
She's playing Link's Awakening on the Switch, I'm trying to think of a good place to jump to from there. Link's Awakening. See, I'm not too familiar with Zelda games. I mean, I would just suggest Hades because, like, everybody loves that game right now.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong there, but I don't know. I think a lot of times girlfriends who are not, like, super into gaming and just coming into it, like, you got to be a little careful what you throw at them.
The only thing is, like, I don't know if Hades has a difficulty levels. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could put it on easy. I think there's just one difficulty level. But it's definitely worth checking out, man, for sure.
Hmm. All right. Well, I think that's it, unless Nick's going to come talk to us about Magic the Gathering.
Where are we at right now? We'll get him next week. I got to pee again.
Child of Light. I still haven't played that game. I think I have that on Uplay.
I remember Go ahead.
Spiritfarer on the Switch. It's like Stardew, except it's a lot more focused on like the relationships you make. At the start, you play as like a someone ferrying spirits to heaven, and you're
like
in this.
About 3 weeks ago. We brought it up around 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's free on the Xbox Game Pass.
10 out of 10 on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my girlfriend's really liking this, and this is like she's not a huge gamer, but
she's a huge gamer, dude.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's pro.
Yeah, that's a good fucking recommendation, dude.
Yeah. I think that's the one right there.
Yeah, might be.
All right, what are we playing? What are we watching next week?
I'm going to say again for the third week in a row, I'm going to play Doom this week, but we'll see what happens.
Good luck with that. Epic Games is giving away more free games. Blair Witch, which they have on Xbox Game Pass, but still, like, that's one, even though I'm totally over the run and hide thing, I'm like, yeah, but it's Blair Witch, you know, yeah. So I might check that out, but more likely, I think I'm going to check out the other game they gave away for free, which is Ghostbusters Remastered. I talked about going back and playing the Ghostbusters game because I have it on Steam, but they just recently remastered it, 4K textures. So I have it installed, ready to go. Probably going to give that a shot, but I don't know. We'll see. If I'm not feeling it, I'm not going to force it.
But seriously, like right now, I'm thinking about playing Ertuk. Like, that's what I want to go play. It has its hooks in me right now.
Yeah.
And then speaking for Bobby and myself, rotten deep stroke titties. Bye.